Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness, from Fido to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 25th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Been better for Big Brother Canada seasons on a Monday morning. Definitely have been better in the past, but still here. Still see what we can make out of this day.
Trudging on, Matt is.
People have been posting clips of like Big Brother Canada 6 stuff online lately, just because it was such a great cast and very underappreciated at the time. And just, you know, I just feel like last season we came on, we had such great, so much to talk about on like on any given day. And this season, I'm just like, I miss Kaylin.
All right. Well, I am enjoying myself here on Big Brother Canada 7. I hope some of the audience is as well. But we are here to talk about everything that's happening on the feeds yesterday. And it was day 23 in the house. And I will say, the day before yesterday was more fun than yesterday was, because yesterday was mostly Kira and Chelsea, and that is not fun. That is not. It was kind of interesting at first. I was like, this is kind of a fascinating thing, but then when it happens again and again, it starts to just get sad and bad. Yeah. Not fun.
And I think I said something about Chelsea last week about this, about how like everything she says feels so repetitive. And that was especially the case when she was in power and she was having conversations with everybody in her HOH room. And it was just over and over and over again, the same thing. And I feel like the exact same thing is happening this week, only it's not even about the game. It's just about very silly stuff with Kira. And I don't know. It's a lot of just going in circles.
Yeah, we're about to take you on a journey here. It's a journey of guilt tripping, gaslighting, creepy stalker behavior, and just overall sadness.
Yeah, and if you don't understand any of it, don't worry, we'll explain it to you when it's over.
So to start the day, Kira's going to talk with Dane and with Corey and with a couple other people. Dane is going to reassure them that they have the votes to stay. Really just Kira checking in to make sure that they actually are staying this week. I think a key thing to remember is that Kira feels very confident that they're going to stay no matter what they do. Dane tells them, you got the votes, don't worry about it. They talk to Corey and they're like, hey, I understand that you're not going to use the veto, but that's fine. It would be great if you did, though, but it's fine if you don't. Don't worry about me. After Chelsea leaves, my head will be a lot clearer. I'll be able to focus. You know, I've had a crush on her and I've been so distracted, but we can maybe make something work after she leaves. So that's kind of how Kira is spending their morning.
Kira and Dane have had a weird relationship since week one. Back in when Dane had his first HOH week, he put up Kira and Mackie, and that entire week he kept assuring Kira that they were not the target, that he was going to make sure that they were safe and whatnot. And obviously during that week the target shifted onto Kira for a little bit and then back off, but the entire time Dane was trying to keep this relationship going with them. And now we're back in like a similar situation, but the target isn't really shifting off of Kira, so Dane's still putting in that same effort. But it's just funny because like last week they were completely disconnected. Kira wasn't really talking to anybody, you know, let alone Dane. But now that Dane needs Kira to just be calm and be his pawn again, he's just putting in work. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it comes off very fake to me. I think Kira understands that it's fake because later in the day, they're going to talk about how they're still going after Dane if and when the time comes. But I don't know. I've been impressed by Dane a little bit more than I thought I would in these past few days. But it's still like, this isn't clicking.
Yeah, it's another one of the situations where both sides realize that this is fake, but both sides are continuing to play it up because it's just easier for everyone if that happens, because Kira's going to stay anyway, because Dane would never bother to take them out. We did learn some things from Dane. He talked to the cameras and let us know, you know, he's been playing all the pretty boys lately, talking about, you know, hey, we should be in the final two together. We're our best shot. You know, we don't want to go against those other two. But he tells us privately that he actually does plan on staying true to his word. His first final two was with Anthony, so he will be taking Anthony to the final two, even though he does feel a little bit concerned at this point at how well Anthony is talking. So that is a genuine concern of his that he's bringing up with the other pretty boys. He is concerned that maybe Anthony will be tough to beat, but right now he plans on sticking to his word and taking him to the final two. He also mentions that he is loyal to the pretty boys over Kiki and Esty, but if for whatever reason things happen and, you know, the pretty boys break up, then Kiki and Esty would be the people he would bring down to the final three. Even though they would take each other, he'd just win it and take Esty.
Right. Yeah, he and Anthony have the best back and forth between the two of them. They can bounce strategy off of each other pretty well. Obviously, things with Mark have been a little rocky because Mark and the rest of the house just don't mesh well. And then you have Adam, who is, you know, with Sam and Chelsea and whatnot. So it makes sense that Anthony and Dane have been coming together a lot and they feel good with each other. But I mean, we saw just last week how easily Anthony turned on Chelsea, and that's while Chelsea was still in power. He was, you know, Anthony was planting seeds to get the rest of the house anti-Chelsea. So obviously Dane has a little bit more of an in with Anthony because of the pretty boy connection. But, you know, a few weeks down the line, if Anthony ever decides that the pretty boys need to be, you know, cut a little bit, like if there needs to be a Matt Hoffman that goes out a little bit early, I would not be surprised if he picks Dane as the one that is too strong, too smart, that has to go.
Well, I don't know if you've heard Anthony, but he has talked about how he has thought a lot about this, and he's been thinking that that if there's going to be a problem, he thinks Adam is going to be that problem. So,
well, yeah, no, that's been like for weeks. You know, Sam and Adam are the problem. Blah 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 blah. But
well, but he specifically, I think he referring to even just like because he had that conversation a few days ago. He's like, I believe me, I've thought a lot about this. Mm-hmm. Now, at one point, somebody might become a problem, and that person is Adam. So, and Mark is like, that was not what I was talking about.
Yeah, Anthony's pretty unpredictable, even, you know, even with what he's been telling us. I don't know.
Yes. So, honestly, I there's part of me that feels like Dane does have a bit of a crush on Esty. My personal theory here is that when he's talking to the camera saying, and then also, I'd totally take Esty and Kiki to the final three, even though they'd take each other. I think that's him saying that's never going to happen, but I can say I would want it so that after the fact, I can be like, Esty, I wanted to kind of take you to the final three, and I even would have taken you with Kiki. But, you know, we had this thing going. So right. I don't think he actually would ever want the two of them in the final three, even though he is very confident he could win the final three HOH.
Right. And I mean, if that is what he wanted, it seems like that's not something that he would have a hard time getting. It's not like the twins have any kind of other plans up their sleeve right now. As early as this morning, they've been talking about how this is what they want to do. This is what they want to go all the way down to the end with. So
they have noticed that Dane talks about taking out all the women first, and they're like, cool. Then it'll be us and the guys. Mm-hmm. The guys will all go after each other.
Right. And then we'll sneak right on through all the way to the end. It's foolproof. Never could go wrong in Big Brother history.
Yeah. And then we can start calling each other Brittany and mm-hmm. It'll be great.
Kind of sounds like Kiki, Brittany, Kiki.
Yeah. No. so that's their plan. They would even like to go to the final four with like Dane and Anthony or something like that. So it's like, whoa, man. So that's what's going on there. Back to Kira and Chelsea here. They are going to get into a fight because This is what I talked about yesterday morning during the update. It was happening live. Kira noticed that Chelsea was looking at them funny. And so they confronted Chelsea about it. And Chelsea was like, I haven't even said anything. And Kira was like, but you didn't need to. I saw the way you were looking at me. And Chelsea was like, oh, but like, what?
Really?
And like, to be fair, Chelsea was thinking something, but it was like, it was just very, it was like a lot for Chelsea to handle right away. And it was like tears on a dime. And then as soon as Chelsea was like, okay, okay, fine, we're good, we're good, it was like tears off. And this really started to get her wheels turning.
That's a theme for the day. Anytime that Kira starts crying, all it takes is Chelsea coming over and sure, no, it's fine, I'm not mad at you, like, it's fine, I understand. And then tears instantly off, like you said. I wish I could get inside Chelsea's head for to understand where she's been coming from. I guess over the past 24 hours, it started a little bit like the night before, where they were sitting around, I think, in the bathroom, and they were just talking about, you know, this is it, we're going to be on the block together, there's not much we can do about it. And then Kira was bringing Chelsea some information. I don't remember exactly what. And then Chelsea was like, oh, I'm going to use this against you now. And then she walked out of the room. She was joking. But then Kira like freaked out about it. She's like, wait, I'm sorry. They were like, wait, is Chelsea really going to go use this? And they were both freaking out back and forth. And, you know, overnight they get into bed together as usual. Apparently, you know, some cuddling, back rubbing going on. And then the next morning, it's just like, bam, some switch goes off in Chelsea's head and Chelsea is just full rage mode. What is Kira doing? Emotional manipulation. Like, how could they do this to me? How could they be treating me like this? Very weird.
Yeah, I mean, so especially after this conversation, she says to the cameras, like, am I being played? Is this all manipulation? Like, what's happening here? And so, like, I think going through Chelsea's head is that, like, there is a lot of manipulation in what Kira's doing, right? So I think Chelsea is like catching on to that, but she is mistaken about, I think, the motivation behind it. Because from Chelsea's point of view, it's either Kira is genuine and they just have a crush on her and she feels bad about what she's done in the game and all of this stuff, or it's all been a ploy to keep her down in the game and manipulate her in the game, and that Kira doesn't really have those feelings. But I think what she's like kind of failing to understand is that it is the manipulation because they have feelings and the game is secondary, and it's all about making sure that Chelsea will hang out with them and cuddle with them and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, even throughout the day, we're gonna hear Kira say a couple times, like, I'll go home. I you deserve to be here more. You can play a better game than I can, blah, blah, blah. So if you're, you know, taking this from like a literal standpoint, if Chelsea's hearing what Kira is saying, Chelsea should know that Kira is not actively trying to make Chelsea be the bigger target and Chelsea be the one that's definitely get evicted. Like, Kira doesn't need to do any more work to put the target on Chelsea's back. Chelsea has the target on her back. So I don't know why Chelsea's freaking out and thinking that, like, one of her closest friends, like the person who would literally fall on their sword to keep Chelsea in the game, is manipulating her. Like you said, this is all about like Kira spending the last few days with their lover at this point. That's the only thing Kira wants here.
And it's, I was thinking about this, and I feel like Kira has unintentionally stumbled upon one of the most effective ways to keep your block partner down, right? Where they literally all day will just be just like, anytime Chelsea is alone, wait like a minute or two and Kira will show up. They will not leave. They will not give Chelsea 2 minutes by herself. She is going to be smothered by the attention. Also saying, like, I would do anything to help you stay. Guilt tripping as much as possible. We're only in this position because you didn't trust me. You've been really bad to me in the past, haven't you? Like, guilt trip, guilt trip, guilt trip. Don't you dare campaign against me. That would be even more mad. That would be even more bad. And then not giving her a chance to talk to anyone else. And then going around and securing votes for yourself. It's brilliant on purpose.
Yeah. No, Chelsea has not been able to get away from Kira at all in the past past week, past 2 weeks. It's been there the whole time. And even, I mean, this goes back to, I guess, even last week when Chelsea was having, talking to everybody, and Kira was always in the room, and Chelsea was like, we need to split up. We can't be together all the time. And Kira was like, but why? Like everyone's coming in here. Why is it just me that can't come in here? You just keep getting mad at me. And Chelsea's like, yeah, because you're always in here and I need to talk to everybody. And she's like, Kira would be like, oh, well, you talk to Sam all the time and Adam all the time, but it's just me. You keep kicking out. And, you know, here we are. Chelsea's no longer in power, but nothing has changed between these two.
Yes. So Chelsea's going to go around to various people and be like, do you guys think that Kira's just manipulating me? Like, is this just all some ploy? Like, this, I feel like there's emotional manipulation going on, and to varying degrees of like, oh yeah, maybe, kind of, I don't know though. Mm-hmm. Corey is probably the most sympathetic ear here. She eventually goes to talk to Sam, and Sam is like, I don't know. I think it's genuine. Sam, I think, also confused, like, I don't know. They were really just willing to, you know, tank their own game for you. I think you're going to look like an asshole if you confront them. I don't think this is a good idea. And I was like, Sam, come on.
I know. That was a major, come on, Sam, you've been so great so far. And now you're going to block a potential like house meeting or someone calling out each other. That's not great. But I mean, Sam's probably saving Chelsea's, a little bit of, I don't think this has anything to do with how Canada perceives her, but like in terms of like game taking a hit, for this week, I think Chelsea was a lot better off not confronting Kira for no reason at all.
Yeah. And again, I think another thing that is like essential to understanding who Chelsea is, right? Where she's very, very image conscious. That's mm-hmm. that's her primary motivation in the game. And you know, to the point where, and I actually respect this because she always looks amazing on the feeds. In fact, on the episode last night, it was the first time there was like, she talked to Dane and she didn't have makeup on. I was like, whoa, they caught her.
yeah, I noticed that.
Is very, very conscious of making sure she always is made up and she's always touching up. Like, she always looks amazing. And she also now wants to make sure, and her, like, this, the main sort of thing here with Kira is that she's like, well, if Kira's playing me, then I look like an idiot. Mm-hmm. If Kira's not playing me, I look like an asshole. There's no winning here. She doesn't know what to do. And so she's caught in this cycle of not understanding how to make this happen. And it's just very frustrating for her. And she feels helpless. She feels like she doesn't know what to do. And it's making her just want to go home.
And it's coming at the cost of her own game, because, you know, for all the potential that I saw in Chelsea preseason, I think a lot of people saw potential in Chelsea preseason. She looked like the brightest star, with the most potential out of this entire cast. She was a very high draft pick in a lot of drafts that I saw take place. I think Brent even took her first. She's not playing the game in the past few days. And I'm sure you guys will get into this a lot more on the roundtable tonight, but she's not making any kind of progress in any way to further her game. Like, her only focus for the past 24 hours has been, what is Kira doing? Is Kira trying to manipulate me? What do I, you know, Kira this, Kira that. It has nothing to do. And even her plan, like, that Chelsea came up with later in the day about, you know, during the veto ceremony, that, you know, again, not to get too ahead of ourselves, but about how she's like trying to target Dane, and that's the direction she wants to go in for her campaigning this week. None of it is working out to do anything for her game. I totally agree that I think her main focus right now is just, how do I look on TV? How do I look to Canada? How do I look, in this group? Do I look stupid? I just won an HOH and I got a backdoor done, but now I'm going out the very next week. I'm going to look like such an idiot. And that's all she's concerned about.
Yes. So she is going to confront Kira, and she's basically going to be like, look, Kira, I feel like you're trying to manipulate me. What? Wow. That is unbelievable. I cannot believe, after everything you've already done to me, remember how bad you felt before? How dare you think I would manipulate you emotionally? Remember how bad you felt when I made you feel bad about what you did to me? Remember that feeling, because you should feel more of it right now, because I'm not manipulating you.
And this is the point in the feeds where I just, like, mute and wait to just read what happened later, because can't listen to this again and again and again.
And so Chelsea's like, I don't know, I just feel like you just, like, you turn on the tears on a dime. What? No, tears start to fall. How? I can't believe you would think that. It's a lot here.
And, you know, all the meanwhile, like, not this particular conversation, but anytime that, like, Sam gets involved and Sam's trying to calm both of them down at the same time and say, no, like, Kira's not playing you, or Chelsea still wants you to camp. Like, it's, you know, Sam's, like, caught in the middle. It's just this entire trip. Like, I guess I'm glad at the end of the day that they're going to be broken up on Thursday, because we really can't advance anywhere in the game with either of these players doing what they're doing at the moment.
Yeah, and this is very much like I don't know. Maybe Chelsea doesn't have a lot of experience with manipulative people, but like, this is how manipulative people react to being doubted, right? Like, how dare you? How dare you? You should feel terrible for even thinking about potentially doubting me. And you know, like, just all of this stuff. About, like, you know, like, after everything that I've done for you, after everything that you've done, you know what? I can see that you just believe this and that there's nothing I can say. So, like, this is your fault for being so, blinded to your own point of view and not being willing to listen to anything that I have to say. So, it's just like everything coming around on Chelsea. Kira has been perfect. There's nothing that Kira has ever done wrong to make Chelsea think anything other than the fact that that Kira is an angel sent from heaven to make Chelsea feel better and wonderful. And so it's bad.
And to just counter this with just talking about Chelsea's reads on people in the house, Kira is this person who's been by Chelsea's side the entire game. You know, obviously Chelsea is aware now that Kira's had feelings for Chelsea the entire game. You know, Kira is on the block next to Chelsea because they are so close. And apparently Kira is the big villain in all of this in Chelsea's eyes. Meanwhile, I've not heard Chelsea say one word about Anthony in the past few days. And in terms of Dane, the one who put them in this situation, all Chelsea has to say about Dane is pretty much nice things, glowing about how he's a great guy. Like, even if I say I'm coming after him, it's just because I kind of have to pick someone to come after. But he's a great guy. I love him to death. We're going to hang out all summer. And I'm like, Chelsea, like, you're coming after your best friend in the house so hard, and they're on the block. Like, there's nothing they can do to get out of this situation being next to you. They're willing to walk out the door for you on Thursday, and you're giving them the hardest time in the world. Meanwhile, you just can't stop glowing about Dane. I don't know what has gotten into Chelsea. I don't know what, maybe nothing has gotten into Chelsea. We've only been watching her for 3 weeks, and maybe this is just her, but it's not what I thought she was.
I think it's two things. I think it's, like, one is that Kira doesn't leave her alone. So, like, if Kira is always there, then Kira is going to be at the forefront of her mind. Yeah. And also, it's the image conscious thing. It's like, she's fine if, like, I mean, she's mostly fine if she just got, like, you know, oh, you know, Dane, he got me, you know, hats off. She hates that she got outsmarted, but honestly, she's kind of like, I didn't get outsmarted, just Dane won the competitions, what am I gonna do? And she's kind of like hoping that the outsmarted thing is more on just like, she made a mistake with Kira. Like, she, like, the image conscious thing is focused on, I need to figure out what's happening with Kira. I need to know how to handle this. Either I'm being played and I look dumb, or you know, or I'm looking like an asshole and somebody else played me. And she wants to figure out how to leave with dignity, and she doesn't know how, and it's very frustrating for her. And so she's just like, just let me go home.
Yes.
And it's disappointing, because, you know, I think she has so much potential in the game, but she just got, like, snuffed out here.
And from the Kira side of things, I just have a really hard time reading them and what their intentions are, because like we've been talking about, they can turn the tears on, you know, with the flip of a switch. And it's just, it's very hard to tell what's real and what's not. You know, they were saying yesterday or the day before about how they were in the diary room, couldn't stay in there for more than 5 minutes because they realized that Chelsea was mad at them. And they were like, I can't sit in here and talk about this while Chelsea's out there actually mad at me. So it's just like, I truly can't tell watching what Kira's actual intentions are. Like, Chelsea, I can understand, is like just completely lost her mind a little bit at this point. But Kira, I don't know where they're actually coming from.
I 100% think that Kira feels like they had a connection with Chelsea and that they had a crush on Chelsea and that Chelsea reciprocated it a little bit. They will say as much, and as we'll talk just very soon. And that like their primary motivation is just the good feeling of your crush, like liking you and not being mad at you. And also like they want to have their cake. They want to eat it too. And then they want to have more cake. And so they're doing like, I don't think they recognize how manipulative they're being, and that's kind of sad. But I think hopefully part of this is just that, you know, they're young, and you know, maybe they don't have a lot of experience with dealing with this sort of thing, and you know, hopefully they'll learn from this experience to be a little less manipulative in trying to get what they want. So Kira, after this conversation with Chelsea, is going to go around and. Like this reminds me of somebody who's like in middle school or high school and dealing with a crush. And, you know, when the crush doesn't reciprocate, then this person will go around acting like they're a martyr. Right. And same thing to the crush, where it's like, this person made me feel so bad. They must be a bad person unless they make me feel good again, because the world revolves around you, right? So, so now Kira is going to go around and be like, you know, Chelsea. Now she's saying that I'm manipulating her, and I just had a crush, and like I feel manipulated, and you know, it's like Chelsea is the bad guy, and so that's going to happen for a while. And they even go on to explain, I think it was to Kiki, that hey, you know, Chelsea reciprocated my feeling. Like Chelsea was into it, but you know, the only problem is that, that she has a boyfriend. So obviously nothing's going to happen, because she loves her boyfriend and nothing would ever happen. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Meanwhile, Chelsea has said many times, like, I'm not into Kira. Like I have a boyfriend and I'm straight. So I don't know if I may, you know, maybe there was something there. Maybe Chelsea did lead Kira on in some way, or maybe Kira just is reading it wrong, but there's just a lot of like feelings and stuff tied into all of this.
Yeah. It's all the quote unquote cuddling. When they get into bed at the end of the night, they've been sharing a bed, I think ever since Chelsea got out of the HOH room, or maybe even before that. I don't know what the situation was the week before, but you know, it was on feeds like two nights ago. Of Kira rubbing Chelsea's back until Chelsea fell asleep. And then they talk about the next day that there's just a lot of back rubbing. And I don't know if, you know, I think that's the extent of it when they're in the bed together. But I think that they're both just completely misreading the situation, or at least Kira is very much misreading the situation. Kira is thinking, well, if Chelsea's letting me rub her back as she's falling asleep, she's obviously not completely against what's going on here. And then that, you know, Kira take that and runs with it. So. It's just a weird situation, and not particularly fun to watch, like we're saying.
Yeah, and so Chelsea comes back and says, "All right, Kira, we need to talk again." And Chelsea basically is just like, "Fine, you're not manipulating me." And Kira's like, "Are you sure?" She's like, "Yeah, I believe you." Yay. Oh, and then goes in to start cuddling, and Chelsea's like, "Can we not do that right now, please?" She's like, "Oh, you're still mad?" "No, I just like, oh, well, okay, so you're clearly still mad because you won't let me cuddle you. So let's keep talking about this until I can cuddle you." And it's like, oh my God. But you know, Chelsea tries and eventually lets Kira hug her and stuff. And so that's what settles it for now. And
would you believe that Kira might not even be the most invasive person in the house during the day today?
Yeah, well, according to Kira. So now, after this conversation, after Kira's allowed to hug and cuddle Chelsea again, Kira's going to go around and happy as can be. giddy. Everything's great now.
That's all she ever wanted, just to have her friend back and happy with her.
So in the meantime, Adam and Sam are going to talk a bit just about what's going on. They're sad that Chelsea is leaving and all of that stuff. Sam says that she's been noticing that Corey has been acting weird around them lately. Meanwhile, Corey is going around telling everyone that Sam and Adam have no idea that I know that they're coming for me. Mostly Sam. I should say Sam, not Adam. She actually likes Adam because that's what Anthony told her to do. So what she's saying is Sam has no idea that I know that she's coming for me. Meanwhile, Sam is starting to realize that Corey is acting weird around her. She doesn't know why, though, because she's not coming for Corey.
Right. And when Sam starts talking about her targets, then I start screaming at my computer and I'm just like, you have got to be kidding me. Just because I don't know if you said it just now, but Sam talks about that she wants to nominate Eddie and Kiki in a potential, you know, if she wins the double eviction head of household. Eddie, you've got to put Eddie on the block. Like, all of these big players in the house, and Eddie is one person you want to put on the block. Like, that's who was the double eviction of BB Can. Jackie was put on the block. Like, Jackie is somebody that we need to get out of the house in a double eviction. Like, we need to get out Eddie right now with all of these big targets on the other side of the house. Like, come on, Sam. It's just like, even the people that I've had hope in to maybe shake things up and not be, because, you know, Sam, Chelsea, and Kira have kind of become the underdogs, even I guess Adam to an extent. And the rest of this house is, you know, come together as a majority alliance, and now Sam from the bottom is saying, oh yeah, Eddie's going to the block. I'm just not happy about it.
Yeah. Man, I wish that there were more I could say about Eddie in this update. There's one little saga toward the end of the day with Eddie, but other than that, Eddie, he just doesn't really talk to anyone anymore. I don't know what happened. He was so involved socially in the first week that we had feeds, and it was like, hey, this is good, but he needs to build on this. He can't just maintain this, because that won't work. He'll need to build on this if he wants to succeed, and he's gone in the opposite direction. He hasn't even maintained that position, and now he is just completely by himself, to the point where, like, when everyone's hanging out playing rock, paper, scissors or doing whatever, Eddie is by himself. He doesn't hang out in the groups. He barely talks to people individually. He's just like reading files in the file room. Like, it's just like it's bad. It's bad, and I don't see the way out of it for him, and unless he, like, just really kicks it into, you know, 10th gear at this point. Like, he's now not only isolated, but he's also a big target for people that he shouldn't even be a target for, and it's sad.
Kalen tore his game down on the way you know, during the Mackie vote. I keep going to say Mackie. During the Mackie vote, Kalen, you know, brought that five together and said, let's vote to save Mackie. And then, you know, if Dane shows his cards, that's on him, whatever it was. And then so that put him on the side of the house with Kiki and Esty and Damien and whatnot. But now that the sides have kind of merged together and then, like, excluded some of the others, like the Sam Adams, Chelsea's and whatnot, Eddie's kind of been, like, left out, because now Kiki and Esty have Dane obviously protecting them at all costs. They've pulled in Damien because Damien has a good relationship with Dane and also with the twins. And it's just, you know, especially last week, they were just kind of pushing Eddie to the side. They were like, you know, we don't talk game with Eddie. Eddie doesn't talk game with us. There's, you know, we're still friendly, I guess. We hang out once in a while, but there's no actual, like, game talks that they have. Eddie just lost, you know, two friends in back-to-back weeks. Chelsea is somebody he was close with, and, you know, if Chelsea does go out this week, I guess you can consider that a third friend of Eddie's that's going out the door. So it's just, he's completely run out of people to cling on to for any kind of hope and protection.
Yeah. And at this point, Sam feels like also powerless. Sam feels like, with Chelsea leaving and Kira being the only ally left that's not one of the guys, and Kiki and Esty have ratted them out immediately anytime they've ever come to them trying to work with them. Eddie has been super sketchy, barely talks to anyone. Corey is acting weird around them. She felt good about Damien, but he doesn't really talk to them that much. Damien is also coming for her. She feels like, I've got nothing left except for Adam. And so her, like, basically, she is now pulling a Hail Mary and saying, you know what? I got to try and get that Britney spot. That's my best hope at this point, and I hope that Adam is powerful in this guy's alliance, because then he can protect me. Unfortunately for Sam, it's not going to work out. Adam is not the powerful one in this alliance, and she remains in a lot of trouble here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that that's the case at all, that Adam has any kind of power to make that happen. I tweeted this yesterday. I was just, you know, I do this like before every double eviction. I just kind of jot down who I think would nominate who before a double eviction. And the way that I had mapped it all out, just from my perspective, it looks like Sam's going up on the block. If anybody in the house, there's going to be 10 people competing for HOH. If anybody except for Sam, Kira, or Adam win the HOH, Sam will be on the block. There's you can debate who's going to be the other nominee, whether it's going to be Adam or Kira, depending on who else wins, but Sam is going to be on the block. And imagine being like Big Brother Canada production right now, seeing Chelsea about to go out the door, followed by Sam. Like, I cannot imagine that's what they want. And I thought yesterday with the lockdown that they might've had some kind of blood veto coming into play, because this is turning into like a little bit of a predictable kind of thing with Sam being like the number one target going into double, but I mean, it wasn't the case.
Not the case. So getting back to Chelsea, Chelsea is trying to, this is, you know, the veto ceremony is coming up, and Chelsea wants to figure out what her speech is going to be in the veto ceremony. Really, again, talking about image consciousness, she's really just trying to make sure that she says what she can when it's on the episode to make it seem like she's not giving up. She wants to make sure that the audience knows I'm still in the game, and also, you know, trying to do her best to play the game as well and try to make a compelling case. And so she's talking to Sam about it in the bedroom, and she's like, okay, so my pitch will essentially be, I'm going after Dane. You know, Kira is working with Dane at this point. Kira's not going after Dane, so, you know, keep me around to go after Dane. You need to. He's running the house at this point. And so she's trying to figure that out. She's trying to start practicing. Kira, of course, because it's been 2 minutes, pokes their head in and hey guys. And Chelsea's just like, hey, can you just give us a minute? And then goes back to, you know, practicing again. 1 minute later, Kira bursts in tears. Guys, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. You're pushing me out. It's just not fair. I'm just gonna give up my game for you, Chelsea. I'm just gonna make myself a target and go home. That's what I'm gonna do. Definitely gonna do that. And Chelsea, oh, no, Kira, what are you doing? Just like, no, you're trying to push me away. I can't handle it. It's not okay. Can't do this anymore.
Like, if you haven't stopped cringing just listening to this reenactment, just watch the actual feeds, because it was even worse. It was just so bad. Like, and watching Chelsea try to, you know, comfort Kira during this, it's not genuine at all. It's just very uncomfortable. Sam is probably being even more genuine, because Sam's like, would you stop already? Like, calm down. It's going to be okay. Like, Sam probably wants to say, you're not even going home. You're not the target. Chelsea's right here. Chelsea's the one going home. Would you shut up already? And Chelsea's just like, oh no, you have to fight. Like, you can't do this. You have to keep going.
And so they talk them down, and they convince them, like, you know, okay, you can stay in here with us. You can stay in here. That's fine. We were just practicing the veto speech. Oh no, it's okay. I'll leave. It's fine. No, you can stay. Okay. Okay, I'll stay then.
And the tears turned off pretty fast, because there were like you can probably hear in Taryn's voice, there were a lot of tears going on. And then the second Kira got to stay, they were done.
And then Sam leaves, and now Chelsea's just practicing her speech in front of Kira.
A very bad speech, I might add.
Noted that she dropped the part about Kira in this, now that she's practicing this, now only focused on Dane. This was effective in the sense that Chelsea not able to campaign against Kira when she's practicing the speech in front of Kira, and now Kira is once again just kind of like hanging out, happy, like they've been let in. A minute of needing a minute is not okay in the Big Brother house.
No,
when
it
Kira's
is not.
Involved.
No, and I want to make sure that I get across the point that I really did not like Chelsea's rehearsed veto speech, because one of the things that she just kept saying was there have been alliances talked about, but I wasn't the one who started it. And that's never a good line to use with any kind of, you know, talking about like, I was involved in this, I wasn't involved in that. She's basically saying that might have happened, but I wasn't the one who started it. And that gets you absolutely nowhere. So I don't know. We haven't seen it yet. So I don't know if she did end up going with that, but she rehearsed it like 20 times. So she probably said it.
Yes, lots of rehearsing because, again, image conscious. And sure, so yeah. She wanted to make sure she had her speech down. And in the speech, she wanted to talk about how she did not create all of these alliances that that Dane is claiming that she did. And, you know, Adam even told her, like, I don't think it matters. It's just an excuse. It doesn't matter. And she's like, yeah, I get that, but I just want to clear the air. I just want to say it. And it's like, oh, all right. And then also she caps it off with, because again, image conscious, this is for the audience. I'm not just, if you think I'm going to lay down and die, you don't know Chelsea. Something. I forgot what she said after that. I think her last name or something like that. I didn't really understand what she was saying. but she like, she, and then she did that part and Kira was like, yeah, all right. Like she's very happy now. They're very happy now. So, you know, that's Chelsea's speech. And then we have the veto ceremony.
Yes, feeds go down, obviously, for the episode and the ceremony. And when they come back, as we all predicted, Corey did not use the veto. Nobody expected her to. Nobody even really campaigned all that hard. They kind of just went to Corey throughout the day and were like, we know you're not going to use it, but we probably should still talk to you anyway. Corey did not use it.
Yes. And it was Chelsea Bird. Thank you, Tracy and Tara, in the chat. You don't know Chelsea Bird. All right. Yeah. And so Chelsea, again, now after this veto ceremony is over, she even says basically straight up to Kira, I'm trying to put up a fight for the cameras for the show because I don't want to disappoint people, but I just feel so defeated and I want to go home. I regret this entire experience. I wish I never did it.
And to that I say goodbye.
It's like, this is, you know, this is what happens, you know, like, I'm telling you, Kira's strategy, unintentional though it may be, extremely effective.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. My biggest annoyance with all this is the fact that if Kira does stay, what's Kira going to do now? Who's Kira going to attach to? Who's Kira going to drag down and ruin their game as well with a new obsession? Because I think that's the one thing that Kira needs in this house is an emotional connection to somebody. And she's, I'm sorry, they're saying, you know, when Chelsea goes, my game will be so much better because I won't be attached to Chelsea anymore. But you're probably still just going to be attached to someone else, whether it's Sam, whether it's, you go back to Kiki. I don't know. Kira is somebody who needs that connection to stay strong while in the Big Brother house, and sorry to whoever it is next.
I mean, here's a hot take. Kira, honestly, still not that unlikely to win the game because who is coming for them? Like, nobody sees them as a threat. They will probably be pretty close to the end game if the pretty boys decide to break apart and take a final two go, and then the jury does not like the pretty boys, which is not particularly unlikely, and Kira is seen as the scrappy underdog that managed to make it there. This is Big Brother Canada 2, also, I should say, and there are sure to be some twists that are bound to benefit the underdog and hinder the overdog, and so you know, I'm just saying it's definitely still a possibility,
right? Kira's gonna be on the block many times in the weeks to come if they end up not getting evicted this week or next week. And it's funny because you pretty much just gave Chelsea everything she would need to say to campaign, and Chelsea has not used any of that once. It's all right there in front of her. Kira will be on the block every week. Kira will go to the end of the game if you don't get Kira out now. They will be sitting on the block as a pawn every single time. And Chelsea's just like, oh, well, I'm going after Dane, so that's probably why you should keep.
Rob in the chat says they will do it for Chelsea.
Yes,
we'll do it for Chelsea. It'll be just like when Gina Marie did it for what's his name? Making
Nick.
The chicken palm.
Nick.
Yeah,
and,
Nick.
Joe's doing it for Sierra, and Big Brother 6. They all did it for Eric, and we'll just keep this trend going. We had It was Eric. Was it Eric? His name. In Big Brother 6?
Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
Cappy.
Cap. That's why it didn't sound right. We almost had that for Chelsea going on last night. While Chelsea was still in the house, they were performing funeral services.
Yeah, I mean, Kira could absolutely follow the Gina Marie path. And with how the juries have been playing out lately, I don't know, you know, that's all I'm saying.
All right, well, let's not focus on that possibility at the time. And
So then we get some Chelsea and Mark. Mark continues to be Mark. Where Chelsea's going to try and campaign to Mark a little bit. It doesn't really go well. He at one point says something along the lines of like, look, I'll explain everything to you when the game is over. And Chelsea's like, wow, you're condescending.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Because Chelsea, to be fair, you are not seeming to understand that you've been told a million times in the house that there is a guys alliance and you still don't seem to get it. But Mark, yeah, that was condescending.
Well, I mean, let's be real, just so everyone knows, Mark is like 80% condescending, and like that's just his person. Like, he is usually condescending. Look, I like Chelsea, but I don't know if calling him out on being condescending when you're on the block is the right time to do it. Granted, she has like no chance of staying anyway, but
One of the many cringeworthy things that Mark does is he uses your name every other word when he's talking to you. So be like, listen, Chelsea, this and that. And Chelsea, listen, like later I'll do this with you, Chelsea. And it's like, why do you keep saying my name so much? Like, we're talking to each other. You don't have to keep saying my name. I don't like that. I don't know if it's just a personal thing, but he does it with everybody, you know, Kiki with Esty. I don't know. He's always repeating their name every other word when he's talking to them.
Yeah, it's I think Mark is interesting in the sense that, he grew up going to religious school and talks about like how that really hindered his development socially. And you can definitely see it. Mark does, though, discover something last night that was I don't know if this is a good thing or if it's a bad thing. It depends on, I think, your affinity toward horror movies. But he is going to be hanging out with Esty and. They discover that she has a voice that she uses that's very creepy. It's like the girl from Exorcist, and she's going to spend a lot of time perfecting a like hair in her face, head tilt. I'm going to eat your soul. Something along those lines. And it's very creepy. And my first thought was like, hey, Esty, I know you haven't heard this from Anthony yet, but you need to be careful because Anthony likes to talk about women in the house being like horror movie monsters. And if he actually sees you being a horror movie monster, then I don't know. He might start targeting you.
My first thought was, I'm glad I saw this in the morning after I went to bed and not before I went to bed, because then I might not have been able to go to sleep. She cleared out the entire room. All three people that ended up being in the room with her were not happy sitting there and watching this go down.
Basically, she kept calling people in three at a time, having them sit in the have not chairs, and then just went, hey.
Yeah, for anybody listening at home, Taryn is twitching his head back and forth right above the microphone right now with those noises you're hearing.
Look, she's got a future in horror movies if she wants to be an actress.
I guess so.
We also have some more of like Adam and Chelsea and Sam. They and Kira, of course, because of course Kira wouldn't not be there. Adam actually gets emotional. He's listening to some songs, and he's starting to like feel bad. He just like doesn't want Chelsea to leave. He ends up giving her a big hug, and they both start crying. Adam's really being pushed emotionally, and if Sam starts getting targeted, if Sam also leaves in the double, Adam might just break.
This is a relatable mood coming out of Adam. You know, sometimes you're just sitting there. You could be on like. Be in your house, be on a train, be driving in the car, and a song comes on and it just kind of hits you, and then like a movie plays in front of you and you just see like a situation playing out, that something that relates to you really deeply or whatever it is. And this is Adam. I don't know what song it was. I don't know if anybody does know what song came on at the time that he just got hit deep in the feels, but they were all locked in the HOH room and he was just listening to this song, and so was Sam, and then like Chelsea walked out of the room and he was just like, he literally started to break down into tears, and they both had to run to the backyard, find Chelsea, and give her the biggest hug while they were sobbing. And I was like, what the hell just happened? And then he explained, we were just listening to a song and it just brought home the real whole experience about how sad we are that you're going and blah, blah, blah. And it was a little touching, but also a little like, wow. Didn't expect that from Adam.
Yeah. What that interrupted, or part of what that interrupted, was Chelsea is going to talk with Eddie. She started to prior to the veto ceremony, but didn't really get a chance to really talk to him. So they sit down, and Eddie wants to know from Chelsea, like, hey, you know, I thought we were cool, but I heard from Dane that you were throwing my name out as a you know, somebody to put up on the block, which is true. But Chelsea tries to explain, like, well, look, like he's telling the truth, but the context is missing, where, you know, he made it seem to me like basically the options were Kira and Eddie or Kira and myself. And so, like, obviously at that point, for self-preservation, I said, you know, well, Eddie. And, you know, she's trying to explain that, and they try to, you know, talk some more. But of course, this conversation is interrupted when guess who? Kira.
Yep.
Interrupts them. They're not able to finish the conversation. Then, you know, group hugs happen, and Kira sort of pulls Chelsea away, and Eddie, with an unfinished conversation with Chelsea, is going to go up to Dane and be like, so Chelsea's saying something about, like, you were potentially throwing me. I didn't really, you know, she didn't really finish what she was saying. And then Dane is able to be like, oh, no, look, here's what happened. And they have a nice long conversation where Dane is able to completely get Eddie on board with the fact that, like, no, she's lying to you. She's lied to you in the past. I did not bring up your name. You know, she was the one that talked about Eddie. And, you know, I was just like, she was just throwing those names out. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Because I wanted to keep her in the dark. But, you know, it was not anything like that. She's really trying to make it out to be something that's not. And, like, just Chelsea is not even able to, like, she's not able to campaign for herself because of the guilt tripping. She's not even able to campaign against other people because of the smothering, the not ever having a chance to be alone, which is really helping Dana.
Yeah. So on one hand, I, you know, you kind of feel for her because she wasn't able to finish this conversation with Eddie, which they had tried like two times at this point, and she didn't get where she wanted to, you know, resolve it by. But on the other hand, in the time that she did have with Eddie alone, I didn't feel like she was getting anywhere. I didn't feel like she was hitting the point she needed to hit. She just kept saying, well, you know, and like, I'm sure Eddie understands that if there was three options and one of them was Chelsea, one of them was Eddie, that of course Chelsea's going to prefer that the other two go up, you know, Eddie and Kira go up instead of Chelsea. But Chelsea really needed to start hammering home the point that, Eddie, you are not my target. You have never been my target. I've always been looking out for you. You know, last week I was never going to put you on the block, even though some people suggested that. We have this kind of, you know, under the radar. No one sees that we're working together, but we have been since week one. We've been having these conversations, and it should be, like, out of all of the potential votes besides Sam and Adam, Eddie should be the one that Chelsea has the easiest time potentially reeling in, just to get at least a third vote on her side. And it's just, she's not getting anywhere, because what she's saying to Eddie is, well, I've been saying that Dane's my target now because I'm not going to throw Sam and Adam under the bus. So she's just reinforcing to Eddie that, look, me, Sam, and Adam are the strong trio here, and I'm not going to throw my friends under the bus, instead of saying, listen, Eddie, come in with us. Come work with me. Come work with, you know, or it's you and me, and we'll have Sam and Adam by our side. She's just saying, well, I have Sam and Adam, and I hope that you still don't hate me. And it's just not the right approach.
Yeah, I got to say, kudos to Dane, because he's really done an effective job at turning everyone away from Chelsea, starting with Kira themselves, and, you know, being really the inciting incident that caused all of this Kira distraction to happen. He then turned anyone else that Chelsea had a good relationship. Damien has been turned against her. Eddie has been turned against her. Corey has been turned against her. Like, it's been very thorough and very effective. And Chelsea is now just sitting there by herself with really nobody able to help her in this spot. And, you know, you gotta give it off, you know, give Dane some credit there, because this is how you effectively take somebody out like Chelsea, who is a very dangerous player. Chelsea, who knows about the Guys Alliance, who should be fighting tooth and nail against Dane, who should be trashing Dane's game. Dane should be taking a huge hit because of this. This should be bad for Dane. that he has to be the one to take Chelsea out because she's such a dangerous player, but he has neutralized her extremely well. And you know, you gotta give him some credit for it.
Yeah, much credit goes to Dane for stepping it up. You know, this was not, I guess it's trickier when it gets down to him versus Sam. He didn't want Sam to win. I still didn't think that this was a great week for him to win after he just won 2 weeks ago. You never want to win this many comps early in the season. You know, just ask Erica. And you know, if Dane had the chance to compete in these veto competitions as well, he might be up to four comp wins by now in week three. But he has done a very good job. Like you said, I think he's managing to possibly get Chelsea out or probably get Chelsea out without anybody even really coming for him. And while you can give Dane plenty of credit for that, I also got to make sure that we knock Sam, Adam, and Chelsea for the fact that it's just there's nothing good being put in on the Save Chelsea campaign. You know, Sam and Adam have been kind of going along with let's just kind of let this happen, even though they have flashes of like, well, Chelsea's our friend and we should keep her. And Chelsea's not doing any work to really save herself. So all around good week for Dane.
And I also want to say, I think that like a lot of people are missing the very obvious play for Chelsea here that she never even really considered because she didn't want to go against her friends, yeah. Didn't want to look like that. But the obvious play for Chelsea here before the veto ceremony was throw Sam under the bus. Dane hates Sam, wants Sam to go. Anthony hates Sam, wants Sam to go. Chelsea has all kinds of dirt on Sam. Mm-hmm. If Chelsea goes to Dane and says Sam is talking about this guy alliance all the time. She said she overheard a conversation between you and Adam where you were talking about a guy's alliance. And, you know, she's really trying to get people to work together to target this, you know. Guarantee you that veto gets used and Sam is on the block and Sam is going home instead of Chelsea. But Chelsea did not want to turn on her friends. And so now we're here.
I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not built for this. I can't do this manipulation. I just can't. It's a dirty game. Everyone's lying. You know, Chelsea's speech for the past few days. She's just not cut out for this. She says,
yeah.
So yeah. What are you going to do?
Sad. Kira does have a conversation with Adam at one point during the day where Adam confronts them about like, are you trying to get me on the block as a backdoor? They're like, yeah, look, I was just trying to save Chelsea because, you know, I've been manipulated by her basically. And so like I was trying to do everything I can. I'm sorry. It was the only thing I could think of. And so they kind of clear that air a little bit. But that gets out. Shakira also, by the way, you know, when
just
they're
Shakira,
Shakira,
we probably should have gone with that.
That's their
the
ship
beginning.
Name. Chelsea, yes. And Kira, Shakira.
All right.
all right. So when they're hanging out with Sam and Chelsea, they will just listen to. And if you go on the feeds and you go to any conversation with the three of them or with just Kira and Chelsea, wait. There are multiple games you can play. Chelsea without Kira, wait 2 minutes, Kira will show up. Chelsea with Kira, wait 2 minutes, and Kira will bring up the fact that Chelsea betrayed them at one point and that they should feel bad and that she should feel bad about it. So
watch any feed and just wait for the phrase roll over and die. I'm not going to roll over and die. I don't want you to roll over and die. I don't expect you to roll over and die. Play that one as well.
Yes. So lots of games you can play. All right.
That's how we'll find fun in the next few days. Yes.
Yeah. That's really what we've got for you. Unless there's anything else you want to bring up, Matt.
Nope. I'm Brent's in the chat here. He's talking about how he's going to give Chelsea a few words tonight on the roundtable. So I'm looking forward to that. Like you can probably tell, I've been frustrated with Chelsea's gameplay for the past few days. And I'm excited to hear somebody else's take on it as well, to hear what Brent has to say.
Yes.
Should be a good roundtable.
Yeah, we will be live tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern for the roundtable. We'll talk about this week in the feeds. We'll update the stock watch. We'll talk about the state of the house. Lots of fun things to come tonight. Make sure you check out my Twitter at Armstrong Taren. I will be tweeting out the form, the questionnaire, the survey, whatever you want to call it, where you can rate the house guests and also answer some questions about the season as a whole. Get your opinions, get your voice heard for the podcast. We'll go over that tonight during the roundtable. And of course, tomorrow morning, I will be live at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feed. So make sure you tune in for that. You can find Matt at Matt Liguori on Twitter. And yeah. I'll see you next time.